Hey everybody, it's Talking Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So you've come to talk about Judge.
Here comes the judge. Little darling.
What's up, guys? This is Talking Yanks, and today we're going to do a little player profile and projection on Aaron Judge, the captain of the Yankees who signed a big contract this offseason and remains in pinstripes. Does that sound like a local host?
It's close.
Like a local sports show?
It was around it.
Okay, thank you. Aaron Judge, he's good, Jake. Currently, of all Yankees players with three or more at-bats this spring training, he is fourth in OPS. Ugh. Yeah. That's good. Top four.
It's not captain stuff.
Not captain.
Jeter would never.
Trey Sweeney is beating him with a 1.77.
Got a pretty swing.
In his five plate appearances. Elijah Dunham. Ever heard of him?
That's obvious. The heir to the captain throne.
He is got three at-bats, two hits, so that's pretty good. And another kid, I don't know how to... Jasson Dominguez.
You said that right.
He's out OPSing Judge. Other than that, Judge's spring slash line of a 462 batting average. 563 on base percentage. It's pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Jim Calhoun.
Jason Dominguez, 500 on base percentage.
Brody's so good. He's fun to watch, and he's good.
He's lefty. These super prospects are good. Aaron Judge.
Jake, he returns, if the people don't know.
What did he do last year?
If you just came out of a coma or something. He did sign a contract to be with the Yankees for a long time.
He famously led the league in walks last year.
A lot of people have been talking about that.
With 111.
Yes.
He famously led the league in total bases. Okay. 391. Famously led the league in OPS plus, OPS, slugging, runs batted in, and runs. So that's good.
That is good.
He scored the most runs, and he drove in the most runs.
Was voted as the MVP.
Was the number one MVP vote getter, famously.
Yes. Yep.
Good year.
Yeah, silver slugger as well. I don't know why you didn't bring that up.
Number one silver slugger.
Yep. Versus righties, he had a 322 batting average and a 706 slugging. Yeah. Lefties, they kind of got him.
Struggled.
272 batting average, 1.010 OPS. Remember that Apple TV game when they were like, actually, against lefties, he's only got 13 homers.
Right.
And it was like, oh, that's the most of any player in all of MLB, though.
Right.
You guys forgot that caveat. He's good, Jake. The surprising thing
was. It's Cavite.
Oh, Cavite. Okay. Like feet.
Cavite.
Most surprising thing, I think, last year is he was the leadoff hitter and center fielder for a lot of the season. A little Byron Buxton action, yeah. Just like a wiry speedster. You don't really think of that person as leading the league and breaking the American League home run record, but that's what it was. It was our leadoff hitter and center fielder. Now, I do think leadoff was because he was going for the record and the Yankees were pretty good, and they were like, let's keep this going. Also, they had no one else.
The other options were hurt. DJ and Benny got hurt. So he led off 34 games last year, mostly down the stretch, mostly chasing the home run record and a little bit of out of necessity. He played his most games in center field, 77. broke the home run record. I don't know if we mentioned.
American League home run record.
He broke the Yankees home run record last year.
His second half slash line.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? I don't know if I've ever seen this.
You looked at this one?
His second half slash line last year, 349 batting average.
Good.
502 on base.
Solid.
785 slugging. Yep. 1.286 OPS.
Yeah, his...
That's crazy.
His September... Or a reminder, you know, he's chasing the home run record, a lot of stressors. The Yankees just came off their worst month in franchise history, basically. In September and October, 380, 533 on base, a 790 slug, a 1.323 OPS. That there were times when he hit doubles last year and the crowd went, ugh.
Yeah. And Milwaukee just kept hitting doubles.
Damn it.
Man, come on. We went to the game and he hit
doubles. First pitch double at the stadium and everyone's like, God damn it.
You son of a bitch. Not what we're here for. There are some bad slash lines you can find on his baseball reference splits page.
Okay.
And
this is good.
You might say, why would you do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because that's what Judge has done.
That's what he did.
If you look at his numbers with two strikes, the batting average drops down to 194.
Not ideal.
If there was an 0-2 pitch that had of action, you know, the at-bat ended there, his batting average was 0.56. These are bad for everybody. After 0-2... So once you got him into an 0-2 count, his average in at-bats that got to that count was 153. So why do I bring this up?
So what did he do, Jim?
Because this is what Judge saw, not all the other shit we were talking about at the beginning. And he reached out to the National League MVP, Paul Goldschmidt, and said, hey, when you do your two-strike approach, like what type of swing are you trying to get off? Or what are you looking to do there? Or what situations do you really use it in? And they chatted about that, and he was public and told the public, I'm going to try and work on this. So what he's doing is with two strikes, he's trying to do less of a toe. I'm blanking on my word. He's not lifting his leg up.
Squash.
Toe tap. He's doing like a toe tap instead of a leg kick. Instead of a leg kick, yeah. So you can look for that. Now, we've seen him take away the leg kick in spring training before, but and then go back to it. But that wasn't like a two strike thing. Where this spring, no, not two strikes. He's doing his regular swing, which he lifts his left leg and then kind of like seesaws out of it with all the power. He's trying to have a two strike approach so he can, maybe in his words, there are times where he forgoes power and just drives in runs by hitting the single, which for him is a double because he's so strong. Right. That's interesting and fun. And good for him. How many home run record guys are like, sometimes I'm going to actually forgo power though next year?
Might as well. He already got it.
So he's going for the batting title this year.
Wants the batting title. Yeah, man. It's he's incredible. I was trying to research it quick and I didn't do a good job, but to lead the league in homers and walks is very difficult. It's something that in my head, I've only known like Barry Bonds did that. Like, yeah, he was that good. I'm sure more have, and I'll get there. Judge is so good, man. And he's the captain and he wanted that. And he wants to be that guy. We've already heard him kind of buy-in for Anthony Volpe to start the season.
Volpe.
He turned down Team USA pretty much to be the captain more or less, which kind of stinks for the world of baseball. Good for our Yanks, though. And yeah, man, I wish the center field burden wasn't on his shoulders this year, but as we've just found out, it's going to be a bit. Harrison Bader's going to be out the first month or so. Maybe two, and he's a huge dude. He's 6'7", listed 6'7", 282. So I was kind of stoked because definitely on his goal chart would be get a gold glove because he's a really good defensive right fielder. And if he's doing center field, that might tap him out of that. But I don't know, man. I just hope – you hope he doesn't get off to a slow start and even in Aaron Judge terms a slow start because you don't want that to be a conversation. You know, it's having – being the captain coming off the home run record, like, you know, it's some of the most eyes a person can have on them in a Yankee season. So you need him healthy, knock on wood, get religious, whatever you're into. But when the big fella's out there, and it's something that you've heard me say on a lot of Talking Yanks episodes, and if you're new here, subscribe and all that stuff, review, whatever, I don't know. Judge's last season ain't that far off from his numbers last year. It's a little better. He broke the home run record. He won the MVP. He's a career 977 OPS.
That's good.
A career 977 OPS. 394 on base.
Career?
Career.
That's crazy.
284 batting average. He's a good contact hitter. And we've had other contact hitters that their batting average isn't even that good. And Aaron Judge does it with the most power to ever... ever play.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, excited for the cap. We might even have, like, kind of a comfortable Aaron Judge. Like, I want the quotes to be less mainstream. Like, I want him to be comfy. You got the bag, man. You're the dude. You're the captain.
First thing he does is he comes out and he says, the judges' chambers kind of cringy, guys.
Move him to center.
Can you get those weirdos away from me?
Move him to center, baby. They might not do that, but,
okay, fine.
I don't know. Feels like there's some marketing dollars there and stuff. So, happy for Judgy, and man, if he's playing a whole season or even, you know, 145, you can almost pencil in 40 homers, which is pretty special.
So as far as like position, and lineup. Two-hole hitter, right fielder. We expect that this year. Obviously, you're right in center field. Like Bader's out, and he's going to have to cover a little bit over there. But the goal right now, I guess it was the goal last year too. It's just, but for anyone wondering, like two-hole hitter, right fielder.
That's ideal for me. And with the way the lineup's currently constructed, ideally a healthy DJ, because if he can slap a single to right, and now to start the game. Their pitcher has to pitch to Aaron Judge with a runner on first base. Yeah, that's where you want to be. And Judge needs to be near the top of the lineup because we need to give him as many at-bats as possible. I really hope if the Yankees lineup needs Aaron Judge to bat leadoff, that's just not right, especially with what the bottom of our lineup is currently constructed as. Now, maybe that changes if they call up, say, an Anthony Volpe, and he does kind of a nine-hole Glaber when he got called up, and our lineup has some flip to it, I'll hear out some conversations. But yes, if the Yankees are fully operational, I think Judge is the two-hole behind a healthy DJ LeMahieu, ideally. If I don't have a healthy DJ LeMahieu, the board's kind of open, man.
Don't be leadoff hitter again.
Doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel like baseball.
Shouldn't have to carry the whole team like he did last year for a while.
And Little League style, you know? Like, that's Little League style. We're hoping to get one run from our best player, and then, hey, maybe when the lineup flips, we'll see you again. But, I mean, I remember some of those games last year got tough, like looking for hoping a pitcher walks a nine-hole Hicks or begging a Higgy to hit a single, not a double, if he gets a hit, because so they pitch to Judge, and I don't know. That part can be tough. So I hope himself and the Yankees aren't in that situation. Because, yeah, two-hole Judge playing right field feels right.
I am excited about relievers having to face him.
Right.
This guy tortured relievers last year. Even good ones. He hit his first walk-off home runs. Remember that home run off Jordan Romano? That was awesome.
That was cool.
But I believe relief pitchers versus relief pitcher, 313 batting average, 732 slugging. So that's Stanton did that for a little bit. And I don't know if that was there last year because Stanton didn't have a good year, but it was like, okay. I mean, if you're starting pitchers on and having a good day, right there. Oh, another thing that Judge could work on is he did not fare well against changeups. And I wonder if that is something he's thinking about or not, because after 2021, he didn't do well against sliders, and he changed his whole batting stance. He put himself more off the plate so he could see the slider more. He put his hands up by his head and was like more like set for quicker hands. He made changes, and he crushed sliders last year. It's actually scary how well he hit sliders, because I remember John Flaherty talking about on broadcast, and he was like, well, now what do you do? And what happened was pitchers that did rely on a changeup as their second pitch did well against Judge.
Yeah.
There's not many of those out there. That's the good thing. So I don't know if he tried to work on that this year or not. But as a guy, he's always tinkering, always making changes.
And I wonder if that's the, you know, again, we're grabbing straws. This guy broke the home run record and won the MVP, but his numbers being slightly down against lefty, if you're a lefty, your best weapon against a righty power hitter would also be a changeup. And, you know, right-on-right changeups are still, they're becoming more part of the game, but they're not as prevalent. That, that would be something you'd circle and say, hey, I wonder if this is different for Aaron Judge this year.
Yeah. Oh, they changed the whole, FanGraphs, like, on that site where you could do verse, like, specific, pitches.
Okay.
So I can't find it. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got, man. I mean, what do you want? What do you expect? 50
well,
homers?
My expectation from Aaron Judge is brought to you by SeatGeek.
Oh, great.
Where I would use code JohnBoy preseason and I would get 15% off your order, whether or not you're a first time buyer or not. If you're getting a seat to something, opening day at the stadium, babe. Game 162. Go to SeatGeek. They're the geeks of seats. They make it super easy to use. Download their app, and with code JohnBoy preseason, you'll save 15% off your next order. Bang biscuit, as they say in the biz. It's so unfair, man. And that's life a little bit. That, I don't know, 45 home runs should be like a fair over. The fact that that's a fair over-under is insane. I don't know.
Over. Why not?
I mean, easily.
Okay. I set it at 50.
You don't think he'll break the record again, right?
No. What's the most home runs hit after hitting over 60?
I would guess it's Sosa. He's usually the trivia question after that.
He hit so 66, and the next year 63.
That's crazy.
Then 50 after the 63. Then he went 64, and that dropped to 49. Didn't lead the league any of his 60 homer years. Fun trivia question.
That is fun.
But did lead the league in homers
Big Mac followed 70 with 65. Again,
okay.
A different era of baseball. And that's the National League, bro. We don't even want that record, dog.
He did. McGuire did 52 and then 58.
I'm an AL record guy, you know?
Okay.
Roger Maris cut it in half. 61 to 33.
Well, he didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Babe Ruth followed 60 with 54. So I guess 54 is the number to beat.
54 is the number. Well, no.
He traded those that half for doubles, Maris.
Smart. That's a smart move. Babe Ruth's got a lot of black on his page. Babe Ruth only won one MVP.
He's another.
Did the MVP award not exist till then or something?
No. I mean, he won it in 1923 and then didn't even get voted until 1931. I mean, he was just probably just a jerk. Or sports writers were just being like jerks.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some history lesson to be had there.
Oh, Babe Ruth was ineligible for the award after his 1927 season by the rules of the American League Award because he had previously won in 1923.
You can only win it once. Classic.
What was even just the argument for that?
Just an arbitrary rule they did.
Different times, man. He's another one of those lead the league in homers and walks, that Babe Ruth guy. Ruth Bonds.
What a dumb rule.
It's not bad.
That had to be the Babe Ruth rule.
Ted Williams.
Like, well, we're just going to give it to Babe every year. This is boring.
Ted Williams born in high school in San Diego. I didn't know that.
It looks like there maybe wasn't an MVP award from 1915 to 1921.
Yeah, and then that Babe got in 1923, and they probably were like, this guy hits more home runs than the whole league combined.
Well, you can only get it once.
Yeah. Sorry, Babe, you already got it. So who got it all those years? Take him away. Babe got it.
Who's the first guy Judge has to give a talking to as the captain?
Already happened. You mean like a stern talking to?
Yes.
That we like learn about, or that are just in general?
Like Judge has to pull someone aside.
I don't think that's his style.
Okay.
I think he just acts properly right in front of them. Or like, hey, why don't you shadow me for the day?
That's old Judge.
Yeah. No, why don't you shadow me for a day?
Okay. That counts.
That's a good way to do it. You're not telling him, hey, we don't do that. You're just saying, this is what we do. What did you just say?
Don't say that on here.
That's the end of the Judge player profile and projection. He's going to hit 56 home runs, 45 batting average with the new two-strike approach. That's crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
433 on base and 6.7.
Why isn't he pulling more homers?
Hey, everybody, it's Talkin' Jake here, and I want to tell you about a new podcast and video series you're not going to want to miss. The Deal. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, executives, Maria Sharapova, Strahan, Jeter, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into those worlds of sports, media, and entertainment. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, you can listen to The Deal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.